Hello and welcome or welcome back. I'm Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. Today we have an IT executive with us, someone I have known and worked with for 6 or 7 years now. Very, very excited to have Eric Bloom. He is an IT whiz and he trains IT professionals and he coaches leaders in that space. Eric, welcome.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me today on your show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely excited. So, Eric, we had an opportunity to talk a little bit outside of doing this podcast, and you have just an amazing approach in terms of setting up your coaching engagements. So, what is your coaching process?
Okay, I actually call it the 5D coaching process. So sort of no, you know, thoughts of grandeur or creativity, let me say, around its name. But what it is it's, you might expect, it's 5 steps, each of which starts with D. I'll just sort of go say them high level and then describe what they are and then why this is an advantage and such. But what the 5 steps are is, first, what you do working with the client, you define their individual goals and the goals of their organization. And again, I'm thinking of this from an executive IT coaching perspective. So the first one is define. So once you define, of course, with them their individual and organizational goals, the next step, then second D, is develop. Here you're developing measurements and success criteria for each one of the goals that you've defined. Because it's great to say, gee, my goal for coaching is A, B, C, and D. But then the question becomes, during the coaching, how do we know if we're moving toward those goals? And then at the end of it, how do we know if we've met the goals that wanted to be met through the process? So again, it's define and then develop. The third step is design. Is that once we've, you know, defined what their goals are and developed measurements and success criteria related to it, then in the third step, we design the program custom for them, the things they want to talk about, the way they want to go about it, et cetera. And of course, this is, whereas I'm guiding the process, it's of course the, you know, the client that's guiding, you know, the content, so to speak, and the and what we'll be doing and et cetera. So after we design, the next one is deliver. Namely, we've said, okay, this is what we're going to be doing. Then the majority of the coaching sessions that we have will be the delivery of that. Now, let me say, during that delivery, they may say, gee, you know what? I have another goal that would be really important now that I understand that more. Or, gee, now that I understand it more, you know, can we de-emphasize what this specific goal would be? So, of course, we would follow the client's wishes on that. So anyway, that's deliver. And then the last, once the coaching moves toward ending, is the last D is draft, where we draft a post-coaching participant action plan. And certainly that would be something we would also do together. The idea being is you know, certainly there's the strong coaching philosophy that you don't want to make your clients dependent on you. So what this is from the work that we've done through the coaching process, this is their springboard, so to speak, to be able to continue on their own on the process that we've developed and the things that they've learned and so on through the coaching process.
Excellent. That's fabulous. And what's so noticeable about it is how much it aligns with the coaching competencies and the coaching process that's there. And at the same time, it's this really powerful, succinct way of explaining it to a client. So
thank you. And that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please. You were going to add something.
Well, I was just going to say is on explaining it to the client from, you know, a business perspective, sort of, you know, coach talking to coach here, is being able to explain to them what my process is. And in fact, that I have a process. That's actually over the years really helped me gain additional coaching clients, particularly those in the technical professions. And when I say technical, let me bring it beyond, you know, as mentioned, I'm an IT, you think IT professionals, which is certainly my primary. But as I've worked with anyone trained in a technical area. That could be accounting, it could be law, it could be engineering of some sort. Certainly, it could be IT, but anything that tends to be with a profession tends to be methodological and step oriented in general, is that when they see that I have a multi-step process which will follow. In fact, I've gotten many coaching gigs, and I say, why was I the one selected? And they said, because I had a process or a system like this that we would go through.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. And Eric, interestingly enough, when Harvard Business Review researched how people choose a coach, there were two things they looked for. One was experience in a similar setting, and the second was a process, a methodology to what they did. And you're definitely responding to that. So it's powerful.
Thank you. In fact, where the idea of me coming up with a process came from, well, certainly, if I may say, from the classes that I took with you, Kathy, but also is that I'm past president of National Speakers Association New England. And one of the things that they suggest within National Speakers Association and just selling your speeches, your talks, your whatever else goes with it, is the real power of having a system that you can articulate to prospective clients and others.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. As a matter of fact, in the Certified Master Coach class you did, you diagrammed your coaching process.
Actually, that's true. I did. That's true.
Yeah. Fabulous. Okay. And I'm going to impose on you, Eric, you're an IT whiz and we have coaches that are here. So what are your tech tips for the coaches?
Oh, great question. The biggest one is make sure that you're really comfortable with the technology that you're using. Probably I would say, the last, say, year and a half with COVID, everyone's gotten a little bit, unfortunately, had to get a little bit more familiar with whether it's virtually using Zoom or using a phone call or using Microsoft Teams or whatever other tool. But the first thing is, whatever tool or tools you choose when working with your clients, make sure that they're really second nature and that you understand them and they really become rote in their execution. Excuse me. The reason that is because you don't want to be thinking about two things at once when you're talking to the client. You want to be sort of 100% thinking about the client, the conversation, their needs, really being in the moment. And if you are sort of playing with the technology, you're trying to figure out what to do next in there, what it's doing is it's sort of splitting your mind share and reduces the quality of the discussion you can have with your client.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Eric, interestingly enough, another conversation we've had in the ethics community of practice at ICF is some of the ethics around technologies, because some technologies really are not okay to have as a coach. For example, Skype, because when you sign up for Skype, you give them permission to access things, or having Alexa or Siri on in your room is an ethical violation because it's basically somebody else listening in. And using a company-owned device or email address for exchanging information with a client is violating confidentiality. So there are a lot of considerations around that side of it. What are your thoughts there?
My thoughts are, first of all, absolutely. Let me begin with email. Certainly is that if I'm coaching a corporate client, is that the things go between myself and my client are confidential between us. So what I'll suggest is that if there needs to be confidential emails going back and forth, that they be done using their personal email address rather than a company email address. Certainly the company email address is fine for setting up the meeting schedule, that kind of thing. But anything deeper than that to do on a personal, because the thing is, if you use, a lot of people use company email and they think that it's their personal email. Well, it's not. The company has the right to access it. And sometimes it may need to by law. As an example of that, as a former CIO, I don't know if anyone remembers the Enron days. I was head of technology at an asset management firm. And what they did was, is there was some big lawsuit against Enron or someone related to that. And they went to every asset management firm in the country and they said, we need every one of your emails that discussed anything with anyone regarding Enron. So what we had to do as an IT organization is we actually had to go in and analyze everybody's email. So, and whether they wanted to or not. And as we, you know, as I did it, I talked to the chief operating officer. I said, hey, we're going to find stuff in there that isn't necessarily going to be business oriented. If it's not related to Enron, I don't want to tell you about it. Is that okay? And the things that people put in their business email, sometimes it's, you know, like, hi, honey, should I pick up milk and eggs on the way home? Nobody cares. But sometimes it was related to them looking for a new job or other things other than that, that we needed to keep everyone really, you know, confidential on. We wanted to do it right, but yet we wanted to follow the legal requirement. So anyways, I will always bring people to a personal email rather than work for that purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's in our ethics interpretive statements to do that. So completely makes sense. Completely makes sense.
Yes. I would also never, ever, ever record anything. Like, for example, a Zoom session. You know, you can record it and people may know that it's being recorded. But unless I'm specifically asked to on some specific item that they want to have access to, you know, by their really requirement as the client, I would never record anything, you know, for obvious purposes.
Oh, absolutely. Interestingly enough, for coaches pursuing a credential, that becomes one of the challenges, is having a recorded coaching session they can submit for their credential assessing. And ICF actually set up a group of peers to coach each other so they can record the coaching sessions, because it's hard for clients to be able to say yes to that.
It's funny. I had to record a session for something similar to that, and obviously, I said to the person that I was coaching is that on one of our sessions, would it be okay if I recorded the first, say, 20 minutes of it, because I needed it for myself for this type purpose? And my client said, certainly. And I said, okay, you ready? We're recorded. And then he says, so Eric, we're on the recorded line. I said, yes, we are. And he says, I want to tell you, I love my boss. I think she's great. So we ended up having a little bit of fun with it. It became almost a little bit of a role play, but then sort of the more, let me say, the more serious things began when the recording was turned off.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because when it's recorded, people are filtering themselves.
Absolutely.
It just makes sense. Which, back to technology, an interesting situation I had with a client is where they worked, the company randomly recorded phone calls. And so we actually did their sessions on their own personal cell phone.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I feel remiss for not saying that. Yes, I do that also. It's actually been much easier in the past year and a half, because most people are calling off of their home landline or cell phone anyway, because they're not physically located in the office.
True, true. Yeah, very much the case. Excellent. All right. So, Eric, what are your closing thoughts for all the listeners here?
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie back to the process of my 5D coaching process that we spoke on. Is as you develop, many of you, I'm sure, already have processes in place. But for those of you who don't, or maybe just as a backup thought for those who already have, is come up with a process that works for you as a coach. I didn't just one morning say, gee, here's this 5-step process. What I found was this is sort of what I was doing based on the educational work that I did in learning to be a coach towards developing my style. So these 5 steps worked really well for me personally. So what I did was I really mechanized, or more specifically documented, the process that worked well for me, but also it was tweaked and tuned, et cetera, to make sure that it met the needs of my specific clients. So that if you're going to be coming up with a coaching process, think of it from both of those perspectives, from 3 perspectives rather. You as the coach, what works well for you naturally. You as the business person on what will help help you get additional coaching sessions and such. And then of course, and most utmost, is what is most appropriate given your specific client base.
Excellent. That is awesome. So excited to have you here, Eric. I'm going to make a little bit of a plug. One of the things that Eric has made available to all of us as coaches is an incredible assessment called Office Influence. And it's fabulous. It's a great tool for coaches. Our graduates have access to it. Erica, what do you want to add in terms of that assessment that's available?
Oh, well, first I'd like to just say thank you for mentioning it. But what it basically is it's related to the research I did for my last book. That research was done in cooperation with the University of Northern Colorado, their media lab, who actually I'm using again on another survey that I'm going to be doing or research going forward. But anyway, what we did is we identified 53 personal and business attributes that enhance your ability to influence others in the workplace. In other words, you may know all of the influence tips, tricks, and best practices, but the truth is if no one's listening, they don't really provide you any value. And I'll leave that by saying my definition of office influence is the ability to move a person's thinking, actions, and/or decisions in a way that forwards your business objectives.
Love it. That's a great way of putting it. So, Eric, thank you so much for being here, everybody. Eric Bloom, our IT whiz, who's also a coach. Eric, if people want to reach out to you and find you online, where can they find you?
My email is eric.bloom@ITMLinstitute.com. Easily found on LinkedIn at Eric P. Bloom, which is also my Twitter handle. If you Google Eric Bloom and you see a really cool looking rock musician, I'm the other guy.
Yeah, you're the tech whiz.
Absolutely.
Fabulous, fabulous. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm Kathy Liska with the Center for Coaching Certification. Come visit us as well at www.coachcert.com. Make it a great one.